The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right. It is Thursday. Sorry, I was just bending down to pick up my Bernie action figure got knocked over. But he's still in this thing, along with Elizabeth Warren. That's a reference. For those of you not watching on YouTube, I have in my studio, off to my left, of course, a Bernie and an Elizabeth Warren action figure. Actually, I got another one to add to the collection. My daughter found it for me. It's a Bernie. It's from 2016. It says Bernie Sanders vinyl figure, I guess, as opposed to regular action figure. Just another little Bernie. I'm getting quite a collection going here. Anyway, welcome to a Thursday. It is Thursday, which means Howie Klein will be along. You know, when Howie's here on Thursdays, we tend to talk politics. We talk electoral politics because, of course, Howie runs the Blue America PAC. And their mission statement, their goal, is to find and help raise money for the best progressive candidates. So there's so much to talk about today from, send her back. Oh my fucking God. To, I don't know, you name it. To CNN tonight, doing a live drawing to see who's going to be on what night of the next debates. And we find out that they've dissed Mike Gravel. Mike Gravel qualified last week. Remember, he hit that $65,000 donor mark. And CNN today, said they've got their 20 candidates for the two nights of the debate. And the only change from last time is obviously Eric Swalwell is out because he quit. And Montana's Steve Bullock is in. No mention of Mike Gravel whatsoever. I do have an email out to Gravel's campaign to see if they care to comment on this. I mean, it's not unexpected that CNN and the DNC would do this to Mike Gravel. It's just par for the course. Anyway, before we get too deep into it and all the stuff that's going on that's got me so pissed off, let's start, as we try to do most days anyway, with a little bit of humor, a little bit of levity to get things going for the day. And to do this, we will begin with a little ditty from our pal Lauren Mayer, Lauren's Comedy. And this is, I guess we send this out today to Michael Cohen, now that all the documents that led to the search warrants on his home and his office and everywhere else were all released today, the documents in their unredacted version. So this is Lauren Mayer and a little song she calls What I Did for Trump. Take it away, Lauren. Oh, no. All right, hold on.
Kiss the truth goodbye and cling to xenophobia. Baseless fears to date again. But Fox News won't quit what they did for Trump.
There's too much reverb there, huh? We'll just play the song without the video. Sorry, everyone. It's, you know, I got an email from someone the other day, a new listener, who said, I can't tell if your technical problems are just, fodder for charm or something. No, the technical problems are real. Believe me, this is not enjoyable for me when I get echo. Anyway, here's Lauren Mayer, audio only, because it's our fallback position. Take it away, Lauren.
Kiss the truth goodbye and cling to xenophobia. Baseless fears debate again. But Fox News won't quit what they did for Trump. What they did for Trump. Watch the falsehoods fly at rallies where they hope ya will cheer as he spreads hate again. But they're full of shit. What they did for Trump. What they did for Trump. Lie. All he does is lie. Lies that multiply. It's how he'll be remembered. Still his base will sigh. Their racist old utopia of 1938 again. But I bet they'll regret what they did for Trump.
When they're in jail, they will.
A year from this November, or maybe sooner, his enablers try to excuse him with myopia, making satire great again. Tell those jerks it won't work what they did. That's Trump, but we'll get rid of Trump.
Please. All right, the latest from Lauren Mayer, who regales us every week with another comedy song. She is a parody queen. Thank you for the levity, Lauren Mayer. All right, I can wait no longer. There was some good news that came out today. The good news being that Jeffrey Epstein is not going anywhere. He is staying in jail and probably will be there for the rest of his life. I just find it pretty reprehensible that that he has been allowed to wander freely all these many years, and it took a dogged reporter for the Miami Herald who kept after this story. Even after she broke the story, he still, you know, had this sweetheart deal and nothing was happening. And all of a sudden, everything changed, which just shows you that persistence pays off. And we need to be persistent. We need to keep calling out the criminal who is occupying the White House in the hopes that something will break. I no longer believe that the Democratic Party under Nancy Pelosi will perform the oversight that they're constitutionally mandated to do, because Nancy Pelosi is chicken shit. And she's so afraid if she does what the Constitution mandates and holds this administration accountable for all their various and sundry crimes, that the Democrats would somehow lose the next election. Nancy, let me tell you this. The American people voted overwhelmingly for Democrats in 2018 because they wanted a Democratic-led Congress to perform their constitutional duty of oversight. That's why the Democrats won so big in 2018. And if you don't do what's expected of you, if you don't do what you were put there to do, you will lose again. Mark my words. Hopefully, the first casualty will be Nancy Pelosi's House seat in San Francisco. She has a really good primary challenger already in the race. Hopefully, he will join us sometime in the next few weeks. But Nancy Pelosi needs to get over herself. She needs to realize she is not the be-all and end-all. And I'm sorry, Ms. Pelosi, you are 79 years old. For a party that criticizes Bernie Sanders over his age, which they do. Funny, they don't have those criticisms of Joe Biden, but they have them of Bernie Sanders. Take a look in the fucking mirror. Because I think your mind is going. Your brain is addled. You no longer have judgment. It is not up to you. Oh, my God. I turned on CNN earlier today. And who was sitting there? But John Boehner. I know it's Boehner. It's just more fun to say Boehner. John Boehner and Joe Crowley. Seriously. This is who CNN has on their TV. And MSNBC is just beyond. Yes, I know Pelosi is older than Bernie. I'm just saying that the Bernie detractors are so quick to call out his age, but they don't say a word about Nancy Pelosi's. I'm just pointing out the hypocrisy. All right, so stuff is going on. I need, even though stuff happened today, I need to start with what happened last night. Now, you remember, yesterday was the day that Robert Mueller was supposed to testify before the House Judiciary and Intelligence Committees. Excuse me, they postponed it for a week to get a whole other hour out of Mueller. So he'll have 3 hours before the judiciary and 2 hours before the Intelligence Committee instead of two and two. Thank God for small favors. Anyway, Trump had scheduled another Nuremberg rally for last night to counter the press, obviously all the media coverage that would have happened last night of the Mueller testimony, which is now set for next Wednesday. But Trump, you know, still went to where was this rally yesterday? I don't even remember. Wherever the fuck he went. And we've now officially sunk to a new all-time low.
And obviously and importantly, Omar has a history of launching vicious anti-Semitic screeds.
And here they go.
Send her back.
And if you were watching the video, you would see this young girl who looked to be about 12, right over Trump's, well, over Trump's left shoulder, who first looked around when people started chanting and then joined in. She didn't know what she was saying. Her parents should be arrested for child abuse. We are raising, I guess they are raising, a new generation of haters. This is what Trump is fomenting: hatred, bigotry, racism. So anyway, that's what happened last night as Donald Trump held another Nuremberg rally. Trump spent a huge chunk of that rally, as you just heard, going after Ilhan Omar and the other three congresswomen of color who've collectively become known as the Squad. Trump said, if they don't like America, let them leave. And when the chant started, he made no effort to stop it. In fact, he paused to let the chant grow. He stood there for 13 seconds while they chanted, send her back, send her back, send her back. Now, Trump, in the last couple of hours, did what he does so well. He lied. He lied to reporters who, in the Oval Office, asked him why he didn't stop the chants. Listen to this bit of bullshit.
Stop saying that.
Well, number one, I think I did. I started speaking very quickly.
No, you didn't.
It really was a loud... I disagree with it, by the
way. Bullshit!
But it was quite a chant.
It was a chant.
I felt a little bit badly about it.
Really?
But I will say this. I did, and I started speaking very quickly. But
no, you didn't. No, you didn't.
Fast,
you paused for 13
so
full seconds.
Well, I would say that. I was not happy with it. I disagree with it.
You're such a liar.
But again, I didn't say I didn't say that. They did. But
oh, my God.
But what you said in your first tweet, that they need to go back.
Well, I don't think if you examine it, I don't think you'll find that. But I disagree with it. Anybody else?
I don't think that's what I said. Bullshit.
Bullshit.
Hey, Donald Trump. Sorry, I just been saving it up. I got a song for you. So this guy just looks straight into the cameras and says, well, I didn't like it. I started speaking very quickly. Bullshit. Let's listen again.
And obviously and importantly, Omar has a history of launching vicious anti-Semitic screeds.
Okay. 51, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. And then he started speaking again. He stood there for 13 seconds while he let them chant away. But he tells the media, oh, I started speaking immediately. I cut them off. He lies every time he opens his fucking mouth. Now, in response, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar quoted Maya Angelou. She said, you may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness. But still, like air, I'll rise. Good for her. She later added on Twitter, I am where I belong, at the people's house. And you're just gonna have to deal. You go, girl. All right. In a likely related story, Merriam-Webster Dictionary last night tweeted, quote, tonight's top searches, in order, racism, socialism, fascism, concentration camp, xenophobia, and bigot. Interesting. Meanwhile, back in Washington, the House shot down an effort to impeach Trump. 137 Democrats joined all Republicans in defeating the measure by a final vote of 332 to 95. Now, here's the deal. This was introduced by Congressman Al Green of Houston, the Houston area in Texas, and he did it on his own, and he didn't include all the impeachable offenses. He just said, with this latest bit of hatred, him, you know, demeaning these four women and telling them to go back where they came from, that on its own was an impeachable offense. And it probably was. If it wasn't, it should be. So he struck out on his own and did this. Granted, that's not the way this should have come, but they were given the opportunity, and only 95 of the 240 some odd Democrats in the House of Representatives voted for it. There were some surprising names that jumped out of the list of 95, including Gerald Nadler. Isn't that interesting? The chair of the House Judiciary Committee, who is not one of the 90 or so members of the Democratic House Caucus who've come out and officially called for the opening of an impeachment inquiry, probably because he's the chairman of one of the main committees, and he doesn't want to rub Nancy Pelosi the wrong way. But he did the right thing here. It was placed in front of him. Should Donald Trump be impeached? And he said yes. So did Elliot Engel, of all people. I know he sees he's being primaried because it's probably the first good thing he's done in a long time. The thing that we need to be concerned about, we meaning the progressives who are still part of the Democratic Party, is the fact that the top of the party, Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, Jim Clyburn, Ben Ray Lujan, and Hakeem Jeffries, all voted to table the impeachment motion. Now, here's the thing. Should they have voted to, yes, go ahead with impeachment? No. What they should have done is referred it to the Judiciary Committee, who should have jurisdiction over impeachment matters. That's what they should have done. Instead, Nancy Pelosi played ball with the Republicans and tabled it, killed it, which is, again, the technical term for that is
bullshit.
Yeah. The House also voted to hold Attorney General Bill Barr and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross in criminal contempt for their refusal to abide by a subpoena related to the administration's attempt to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census. All right, what else? Oh, another bit of loveliness. You know, I got to remind you, you know, I'm no big fan of MSNBC. There are a few shows on there that I watch. I do like Chris Hayes. Who else? It changes all the time. I like Chris Hayes. I'm drawing a blank on who else I like. I like Ali Velshi. I like Eamon Mohideen, who's on at 5 o'clock in the morning and just came back from paternity leave. Yes, I don't sleep well. Anyway, Chris Matthews is somebody who needs to go, just in case you were wondering. He's talked about how I think Steve Bullock or, you know, one of the other sort of no-name conservadems on that debate stage. Those are the ones to watch. I just want to play for you who Tweety picked to win the nomination in 2016 at about this time in the race. You know, people were talking about it would be Rudy Giuliani, remember? Right? It was supposed to be Giuliani and Clinton. Anyway, this is what Tweety said then.
And the nomination is going to Rand Paul. You watch. This is what I do for a living.
Yeah, this is what he does for a living. How does he still do this for a living is beyond me. I don't know. No, it's not Joy Reid. And no, it's not Rachel Maddow. No, neither of them. Anyway, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul blocked a bipartisan bill that would ensure a victim's compensation fund for the 9/11 attacks never runs out of money, saying any new spending, such as the 9/11 bill, should be offset by cuts elsewhere.
Any new spending that we are approaching, any new program that's going to have the longevity of 70, 80 years should be offset by cutting spending that's less valuable. We need to at the very least have this debate. I will be offering up an amendment if this bill should come to the floor, but until then, I will object.
Until then, I will object. Hey, fuck you, Rand Paul. By the way, they don't need me saying that because Jon Stewart wasted no time in calling him out.
It's absolutely outrageous, and you'll pardon me if I'm not impressed in any way by Rand Paul's fiscal responsibility virtue signaling. Rand Paul presented tissue paper avoidance of the $1.5 trillion tax cut that added hundreds of billions of dollars to our deficit. And now he stands up at the last minute after 15 years of blood, sweat, and tears from the 9/11 community to say that it's all over now. Now we're going to balance the budget on the backs of the 9/11 first responder community. Brett, this is about what kind of society we have. At some point, we have to stand up for the people who have always stood up for us.
You think?
And at this moment in time, maybe cannot stand up for themselves due to their illnesses and their injuries. And what Rand Paul did today on the Senate was outrageous.
But what else is new? And we should note that Rand Paul was not alone. He got all the press for it, but Mike Lee, the senator from Utah, joined Rand Paul in blocking that vote, saying that this fund had to be paid for by cuts elsewhere. Meanwhile, both of these fucking assholes voted for the tax scam that gave away over, you know, $2 billion to the richest people in this nation. Sickening. Absolutely sickening. Okay. I mentioned this earlier, but I'm beyond. CNN is getting ready for the second Democratic debates of the 2020 campaign. Yesterday, they announced the 20 candidates who they say qualify. As I mentioned earlier, it's the same as the last group, but with Montana Governor Steve Bullock replacing Eric Swalwell, who already dropped out. But many of us are wondering, where's Mike Gravel? The former senator qualified by crossing the 65,000 individual donors line. CNN's claiming they missed on hitting the polling threshold. But $2 trillion. The rule says this, that candidates had until 11 a.m. yesterday to certify with the DNC that they have either achieved at least 1% support in three polls from an approved list of pollsters or received campaign contributions from 65,000 unique donors, including 200 donors, each from 20 different states. Okay, well, Gravel crossed the donor threshold. In their story announcing the 20 to be included, CNN completely omitted any mention of Mike Gravel's name. They did mention that Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton, Miramar, Florida Mayor Wayne Messam, former Pennsylvania Congressman Joe Sestak, and billionaire investor egomaniac Tom Steyer also failed to qualify for the debate, so they won't be on the debate stage, but they made no mention of Mike Gravel. He's filed everything he needed to file. He's passed the threshold, and yet CNN is acting like he doesn't exist. And I get it, because Mike Gravel is not running to win, but he's running to make some important statements, and he's done everything that he needed to do to qualify to get into this debate at the end of the month. And he's just being excluded. I haven't heard anything back from the Gravel campaign. I reached out to them earlier today. Hopefully we'll hear something from them by tomorrow. But I'm just incensed about this. Now, to make matters worse, or just more embarrassing, is what CNN is doing tonight. I mean, it would be funny if it weren't so sad. So tonight at 8 o'clock, they are having an on-air drawing to see which candidates will go in which night of the debate. Because, you know, it's a two-nighter. They're having 20 candidates, 10 each night. So tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern on CNN and CNN Go, we are turning the drawing of the debate slots into a live TV event. I shit you not. CNN will host a live debate draw during a special edition of Anderson Cooper 360. And to make sure that they don't have the same problem that MSNBC had in the first debate, where all the top-tier candidates except for Elizabeth Warren were on the second night, they've split it into three groups. There's three tiers. So tier three is Bennett, Bullock, de Blasio, Delaney, Gabbard, Gillibrand, Hickenlooper, Inslee, Ryan, and Williamson. Tier two has Booker, Buttigieg, Castro, Klobuchar, O'Rourke, and Yang. And tier one, Biden, Harris, Sanders, and Warren. So I guess they'll do two from tier one, you know, one from tier three. Oh, my God. And this, they're going to take up valuable airtime. Not that they have anything better to do, I suppose. I am just flummoxed. This is what it's come to. It is just a circus. just beyond. In other news, Nancy Pelosi has set a Friday deadline for Congress and the Trump administration to reach an agreement on raising the debt ceiling. Remember the debt ceiling? Yeah, they haven't had to do it in a while. This, while Obama was in office, was always, you know, Republicans didn't want to raise the debt ceiling. How could we promise to pay for all the money we've already allocated? That's what the debt ceiling is. Raising the debt limit just says, here's how much money we promise we will use to pay off the debts we've already incurred. And Republicans, when Democrats were in power, Republicans would make a big stink over raising the debt limit, basically saying, we don't care. We'll risk the full faith and credit of the United States government to make a political point. So Nancy Pelosi has been regularly speaking with Treasury Secretary Steven Buy Me a Vowel Mnuchin, and she said she wanted to vote on any potential agreement next Thursday. That's one day before the House goes on recess. And they'll be gone for 6 weeks. Yes, 6 weeks. They'll be gone for the last couple of weeks of July and all of August. So in order to agree this to achieve this goal, any agreement would need to be completed by tomorrow in order to give the chamber enough time to move the deal through the legislative process. And let me just say, given the way the Republicans are acting today, Nancy Pelosi should tell them to shove it up their collective ass. Seriously. There were four Republicans who actually had the balls to stand up and say, you know what? Trump's tweets were racist and vile. Four. Count them. Four. It is sickening. All right. It is also Thursday. So Thursdays, we get together with our pal Howie Klein. And I had somebody holding on the phone. I totally forgot about. Sorry about that, caller. Call again tomorrow. Totally forgot. I punched in a phone call. This is what happens. I get on a roll every once in a while. All right. Let's get Howie on the line. And while he's ringing, Let's get those Dirty Debbies going, shall we?
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie. Yeah.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, hey, Howie Klein.
Nicole, how are you?
I'm beyond any sense of reason here. I'm stunned by what's going on in this country. I'm stunned by, I shouldn't be surprised, because we've grown to expect this. But every time Trump, you know, falls to another low, I just can't believe it. And he sends out all these racist messages against Ilhan Omar and the other three of the squad, and his approval rating among Republicans goes up.
Right. Went down among normal people.
Well, as it should.
Yeah. So, you know, it went up 5 points among Republicans and down 5 points for just, you know, independents who have, like, so turned on him. I mean, these elections are really determined by independents.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like I always say, Democrats vote for Democrats, Republicans vote for Republicans, and independents decide the elections. And independents are turned off by Trump and the Republican Party for enabling him. And it's going to be a disaster for them. It's going to be worse than it was in 2018.
Oh, I believe it. Well, yeah, without a doubt.
Even in North Carolina, which he, you know, I mean, they have 15 electoral votes. He has zero path to reelection without North Carolina. Mm-hmm. He's 4 points down.
Is he? Good.
Yeah. I mean, even if he wins North Carolina, it doesn't mean he's gonna win the election. He won't. But if he loses North Carolina, game over. It's finished early in the evening. They report very early. They'll report early. If they report early that he didn't win that state, bye-bye, election's over.
Well, I hope so. I don't know how we get, and I've said this for the last year, 2.5 years now, so I guess we will get there one step at a time. You put one foot in front of the other. It just seems insurmountable. It seems like we cannot survive the way we're going. I think we're going to descend into violence. And I honestly, I'm truly worried about the safety of Ilhan Omar and AOC and Rashida Tlaib and Ayanna Pressley.
Yep. You know, if Pelosi wants, and she may have done it, I mean, she probably did it already because it's her duty, she can assign them Secret Service, mm-hmm. which I'm assuming she has.
I would hope so. I mean, one of the headlines today.
I haven't seen anything in the news about it,
right.
But, you know, she has the right to, and it'd be, there were a lot of stories today about the Democrats saying that Ilhan was in danger.
Yes.
But really, the four of them are in danger.
Yeah, I agree.
And they have families.
Yep.
I mean, Ilhan, I know, has kids.
Yes, she does. And so does Rashida Tlaib and Ayanna Pressley, I believe. I think AOC
Well,
is
I know
the only
Rashida
who,
does, for sure.
Yes,
that's right.
Right. I think AOC is the only one who doesn't. I think, well, she's the youngest. But still, I mean, the fact that they've allowed it to get to this is just sickening. Watching that chant last night, if you didn't feel that pit in your stomach, if you didn't feel that wave of nausea coming over you, then you're not paying attention. What is happening, what he is doing to this country, is should have everybody freaked out.
And it does. It has a lot of people freaked out. Republicans are starting to freak out in a real way. I mean, they're not always saying it, but I noticed that the head of the NRCC, mm-hmm. Tom Emmer, he made a much stronger statement than he would usually make. I mean, there's a big thing now in the Republican Party about how extreme the committees should go. And you know, a friend of mine works at the NRCC, and he is the one more than anyone else who wants the extremism. He's as extreme on his end as I am on my end.
Wow.
And he's calling for more extremism. And he's dragging Emmer along with him. Even though he's not the boss, Emmer's a moron, and this guy is pulling Emmer along. And Emmer freaked out today and said, you know, no, I don't agree with what Trump did last night.
Good.
And that's a big deal. Now, even Trump said he doesn't agree right. with what happened. Now, you watch this thing. Wasn't Trump encouraging them with his facial expressions?
13 seconds of silence. He backed off to let their send her back chant build and build and build. 13 seconds, we counted it here. He sat there, and yet he tells the press this morning, lying in the Oval Office, it's a new pastime, when they started, I started speaking again very quickly. I wasn't for that at all.
That was
bullshit.
A lie.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says now, I mean, he literally is throwing his racist fans under the bus.
Yeah.
Because his advisors told him, this is the way you lose an election. You want to be a loser. You remember, Trump doesn't want to be a loser.
That's right.
And never has in his whole life. He's always been afraid of that.
Uh-huh.
And they know that. And they say, you will be a loser if you continue this. And he backed off and said to the press today, I didn't agree with that. I didn't like it.
Right, but again, he's trying to have it both ways.
Fine.
Because he is making racial animus a center stone of his campaign again. This is his thing. He knows he can always count on the Klan members to back him, the white nationalists, who he says, when he was asked just last week how he feels about the white nationalists, like, you know, backing up his position, he said, that's fine. A lot of people agree with me.
Yeah, exactly. The Republicans who are running for office under him, the ones who mm-hmm. are dependent on independent voters, so people running for Senate seats, people running for, you know, many, not all, of congressional seats. I mean, the people basically in Alabama and Mississippi and some of these places, it doesn't matter. You know, they're not dependent on independent voters. There are enough Republicans in those districts who agree with this. There are enough of them so that these people, it doesn't matter to them. They're going to win anyway. But in the Midwest and in the West and here in California, these people can't win without independent voters. I noticed today or yesterday some of the recruiting that the Republicans have been doing has been paying off for Congress. They've been getting the people that they want to run instead of the crazy extremists. And, you know, today these people are scratching their heads and saying, this is what I'm going to run as? They can't do it. I mean, they can't win in districts where independents determine the vote. Hmm. What, you know, it just won't happen. Any district where you only win with independent votes, they're gone. They're going to get their asses handed to them again, like they did in 2018.
Well, this is if they don't, you know, rig the election, which I wouldn't put past them because he's got everybody, you know, working for him. Just the fact, I got to tell you, Howie, I was very disconcerted earlier this week seeing the news that the killer cop of Eric Garner is no charges. I mean, it's on video. He choked this guy. Eric Garner's on the ground, you know, just trying to get out the words, I can't breathe, 11 times with this cop still sitting on him, a bunch of cops on him. And who made the final call? Bill Barr. The Justice Department wanted to press charges, and Bill Barr stepped in and said no. This
reminded me of Kamala Harris when her Justice Department or her Department of Justice here in California wanted to press charges against Mnuchin, and she made the final call and said no.
That's right. Yeah. I hope people get to
corruption, whichever party it is.
Yep. I hope people get to examine Kamala
Harris. We all know that. You know, he's going to get his. I'm sure, you know, he was held in contempt of Congress. I don't think he cares.
Nope.
The other one, what's his name? Mr. Magoo from the
Commerce
Department.
Wilbur Ross. Wilbur, I think of the
Ross.
Yeah,
he was also held in contempt. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
And then you hear some, you know, empty-headed talking head on TV saying, well, this is going to hurt their chances for getting another job. I mean, what the hell is she talking about? Wilbur Ross is a billionaire who's 80 years old.
Yeah, or older.
It hurt his chances to get another job. What the hell are you talking about?
He doesn't need
another
job.
I mean, they repeat these, like, silly things. and you have people listening to it. Just like I'm expecting to hear someone, I can't wait to hear it because I'm going to throw something at the TV. Someone is going to describe the Democrats, the six Democrats who voted against increasing the minimum wage this morning. Someone's going to describe them as moderates.
Oh,
why are they moderates?
They're not moderates.
How is that moderate?
They're conservatives is the word I use.
About a barely living wage. And these conservative Democrats, what they did was they said they weren't going to go along with it. They were going to keep, and that's why it's taken this long. It was supposed to pass on the first day, and it's taken this long because they've been threatening. And they, you know, what they wanted was that the minimum wage rise to $15 would only apply. Basically, I mean, it's insane, but it would only apply in the North. You know, like go ahead and do whatever you hell, what the hell you want there, but the Southern Democrats, the few of them that there are, said, but not in our states. We don't want it. We don't want it. We don't want the minimum wage to raise. Yeah, the person who led that was a woman of color, Terry Sewell, in Alabama. And she's confident that the voters in Alabama, that the Democratic voters in Alabama, and she's in an extremely gerrymandered district. The Republican legislature in Alabama reached out to get every black person they could find into her district, and so they wouldn't be in Democrat and Republican districts.
Right.
So she's got this weird, you know, the black neighborhood of Birmingham and the black neighborhood of Tuscaloosa and the black neighborhood of every city in the state. She's got this weird district. I'm going to make up this figure.
Okay.
Just to give an example.
All right.
The state voted 70%. A Republican.
Okay.
Her district voted 70% Democrat.
Right.
That's how
okay.
odd the district is. It's
gotcha.
So gerrymandered. You know, I'm not sure of what the exact number was, but the what I said is that the number that it was statewide was the opposite of the number it was in her district.
Wow.
Anyway, she's a new Dem, very corrupt. She led this thing just have the minimum wage in states in the northern states. Leave us alone down here.
Hi.
What do you think her voters, African American working class voters, what do you think they think of that? She's counting on them never finding out.
I guess so.
She got so beaten up that she actually wound up voting for it today. But six Democrats still voted against it.
All right, I'm looking at the list now, and I don't even know these names. Basically, I'm looking at and Torres Small. Okay, so the names I came up with: Brindisi Cunningham.
Yeah. So Brindisi is one of the co-chairs of the Blue Dog Caucus. He was one of the most right-wing members of the New York State Legislature, and then the DCCC recruited him. They wanted him. It wasn't like he was, you know. He was one guy that wanted to run. They begged him to run, and he did.
And now he votes against them.
Now he votes against them. He was one of the ones that they spent mega millions on. So much money was spent on this guy. And they talked the labor unions into voting, spending money on him, too. So millions of dollars were spent on this guy. Completely predictable what he was going to be, since he had a record already in the state legislature. And now he's one of only six members of the Democratic Party who voted against raising the
minimum wage to
$15
an hour.
What do you think those labor guys are thinking now?
Oh, my God.
Wow, we got tricked by the DCCC
into
doing this.
That's right. So the other
but
ones.
They should be thinking, and they should be doing something about it, but they won't.
Right, no. And so the other five, Cunningham, is he from, I don't know who Cunningham is.
South Carolina, Joe Cunningham.
Okay.
He has the single worst record of any Democrat in Congress.
Wow.
He's tied with Brindisi, actually.
Wow.
There are three of them that are like at the bottom of the toilet.
Okay.
And the next one is Kendra
Horn.
Ben.
Kendra Horn.
Sorry?
Kendra Horn?
Oh, Kendra from Oklahoma City. Also,
okay.
Just if I had a bet, if any Democrats are going to be defeated in 2020,
uh-huh.
when I expect there's going to be a very big anti-Republican wave again,
mm-hmm.
she would still be the one that I think will be defeated.
Okay.
She won this thing by chance. No one particularly likes her. The Democratic base in Oklahoma City is so turned off to her that they're not going to vote for her. I think she must think that Republicans will because she's voting with them, but they're not. The Republicans aren't. They're going to vote for whoever the Republican Party puts up,
yep.
And Democrats are going to sit this one out. They will not vote for her.
I
will bet that Democrats are going to go into vote. Remember, her district went for Bernie. Not for Hillary.
Wow.
Democratic voters are going to go in to vote. They're going to vote for Bernie if he's on the ballot, and then they're going to walk away and not vote for Kendra Horn. And that's the only prediction that I'll make about a Democrat losing in 2020.
Wow. See, this is a prime example. Oklahoma, you think the conservative Dem, but Bernie won the district. We'd be better served, by having a real progressive in there, because Republican light is going to lose, because people will vote for the real Republican. All right, next on the list is McAdams.
Right. He's from Utah. Part of it is Salt Lake City, and it's that, but it's the whole county. Hmm. And he was the county executive, again, recruited by the DCCC, and he is going to have a rematch with the woman who was who he barely beat her. It was very, very close. She's going to go up against him again, and this time he could very well lose, because again he is turning. Again, his district went to Bernie.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to the Democrats there who voted for Bernie voted for him. They did vote for him, hoping that he would be a real Democrat. And here he is voting against the minimum wage. Who likes it except hardcore Republicans when you vote against the minimum
right.
wage? What does that tell workers? What does that tell them? Does that encourage them to vote for a Democrat? Not in my mind, it doesn't.
Right. No, not at all. It tells them to stay home. The other two are Schrader and Torres Small.
So I'm happy to announce that Blue America is full on working for a candidate who's taking on Schrader. Kurt Schrader is a horrible candidate in Oregon, in the western part of Oregon. It's a very rural and suburban district. And again, Bernie won that district,
mm-hmm.
and Schrader is a far right. He's one of the most far right blue dogs that there is. He's just absolutely terrible, and he's been in Congress for a long time, and has been really bad the whole time he's been there. He has a terrible record, but this is the kind of thing that people remember. This kind of like anti-union, anti-worker vote is not going to be forgotten, and he's got a very, very good opponent this time, a guy named Mark Gamba, who's the mayor of one of the biggest, well, it's not biggest, it's a city of around, I think he told me around 50,000 people. It's called Milwaukee, spelled a little bit differently from the Milwaukee in Wisconsin.
Okay.
And this guy, again, this guy is a record too, because he's been a mayor for several years, so people see that he's for real, and that he really, really works hard to bring around working family issues. So he's running a full-on progressive campaign, no holds barred, against Schrader. And Blue America, we endorsed him, and we're trying to help him raise some money.
Awesome. Great. And then Sochi Torres Smalls in New Mexico.
Also terrible.
Yep.
Absolutely terrible.
Yep.
You know, just a terrible blue dog. And again, she's whining. It's a Republican district, so she has to vote like a Republican. It doesn't make any sense.
Makes no sense.
The Republicans have their candidate. And they have their candidates, and they're not going to vote for her.
Right. No, I hear you.
But she's they could all lose. The whole bunch of them can lose.
Yep.
And the Democrats would be better off without them.
Yeah, I think you're right. They need to stay in the majority, please. But we could get rid of these blue dogs and
they
new
will.
Dems. Right.
They will stay in the majority.
Good.
Like with a guy like Schrader, that's a blue district.
Yep.
And if Gamba beats him, Gamba will be the new Democrat. But but even if we wind up losing, I meant Gamba will be the new congressman.
Right. Gotcha.
But even if we wind up losing some of these really bad Democrats to Republicans, there are plenty of seats that we're going to pick up this time.
Right.
That Republicans have now, where the DCCC just screwed it up last time.
Right.
And didn't win the seats that they need to win.
And
this time, because of Trump being on the ballot, I think there'll be enough Democrats who turn out so that we're going to win some of those seats back.
I hope so.
So even if we lose some of the bad ones, no worries. Let them go.
Good.
They do more harm than good anyway.
Well, Howie Klein, we do have some breaking news. I want to talk to you about the impeachment vote that happened yesterday, but there is breaking news, and this is my fear. Donald Trump tweeted, and these tweets are out there, back in 2012, watch Barack Obama start a war with Iran to win the election, because this is how his demented mind thinks. Well, here's the breaking news. The U.S. has destroyed an Iranian drone in the Strait of Hormuz. Trump's asserted that the drone ignored warnings from USS Boxer to stand down as it neared the ship. We shot down an Iranian drone. This scares the piss out of me.
Yeah, well, you know, someone shot down an American drone. The Americans claimed it was the American military claims it was the Iranians.
Right.
The Iranians said they didn't do it, though, right?
Right. No, and Trump gave them cover. Trump said, "Oh, I think it was a mistake on their part." I really think Trump, for all his saber rattling, and I hate to say this because I don't want to goad him into doing something stupid, but I think he's chicken shit. I think he talks tough, but I think he's a pussy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that. Yeah, I mean, you're right. He is, and he's getting pulled by different advisors in different directions.
Yep.
Obviously, he's got Bolton, who's always wanted a war with Iran.
Yep,
that's his dream.
Mm-hmm.
So he's pulling Trump in one direction, but other advisors, especially his military advisors, are telling Trump, "No, we can't do it,
right.
And it would be a disaster. And don't do it." So he's pulled in both directions. And he's a weak person, and you don't know what he's going to do. Everyone says whoever gets to him last is the one who gets their way.
Yeah. You know, and I got to think it through in the YouTube chat room. gets the prize for today's best comment. Does Trump know that the drone was unmanned? Just asking. All right, Howie Klein. So yesterday, Congressman Al Green, granted he marches to the beat of his own drummer, he introduced his own articles of impeachment. It was just a short one-pager. Some of the criticisms I heard of it from Democrats was like he didn't include everything that was impeachable about it. But 95 Democrats voted in favor of impeaching Rashida Tlaib.
It was only around 60. Because he introduced this amendment, this resolution a few months ago.
Right.
So it was only around 60 people who voted for it. Now it was 95.
95.
So that's good.
Yes. And surprisingly.
Where was Justin Amash, by the way? What the hell? He's been talking about impeaching Trump, and he was one of the ones who voted against it.
No idea. I have no idea. I also wonder about, you know, people like Ro Khanna, who I think has just been sidling up to Nancy more and more. But Gerald Nadler, the chair of the Judiciary Committee, voted for it, which I think is huge.
Well, by Nadler voting for it, he gave permission to the other members of the Judiciary Committee to vote for it also. And
nice.
They did. You know, obviously you saw Pramila vote for it. Ted Lieu voted for it. A lot of members who were saying, we really think this should go to the Judiciary Committee. But, you know, that they just voted for it anyway.
Right.
Knowing full well that it would go to the Judiciary Committee because Pelosi controls enough votes that it's whatever she wants is going to happen anyway.
And that's what pisses me off.
We're whipping this hard.
This should have been referred to the Judiciary Committee. That's where anything impeachment related belongs. Instead, Nancy Pelosi is playing ball with the Republicans and she tables it. She tables it, which means she killed it. This is where Nancy Pelosi's head's at, and I'm just flummoxed. I don't understand her strategy because she's going to lose.
Well, she and Schumer are bad leaders, and their minds were formed and cemented a long time ago, and they do not back Democratic values.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't grown with the progressive movement as it's grown, and they are still fighting against Reagan in their minds, and they don't understand what's going on now. And they and Hoyer should be removed from leadership yesterday, the day before,
absolutely.
10 months ago. I mean, they're a disaster for the party. They shouldn't be leading the party. They're the wrong people at this point. Even if you want to say Pelosi was, you know, wonderful at one point, I would agree with that. She was. I mean, I don't know about wonderful, but she was good at one point, and she was a progressive.
Yep.
But in those days, you defined progressive differently than you define it today. Once upon a time, if you were pro-gay, as she was, if you were pro-choice, as she was, and you had some liberalism around the edges as she had, you were progressive. Today, that isn't the case. You have to still obviously be pro-choice, and you've got to be in favor of equality for everybody. Well, sure, but there's a lot more to it now. And she hasn't gone along with a lot more to it. All of that stuff is odd to her. She doesn't understand what the Green New Deal is.
Right.
She's completely opposed to Medicare for All. In her mind, as in Biden's mind, Medicare for All is going to destroy Obamacare. They don't understand this is the next step from Obamacare. I don't know why they don't understand it. It's not that hard to figure out.
Well, there are people like...
It destroys her legacy. Her legacy, she destroyed her legacy already by funding concentration camps.
Yes, I agree. And by, you know, I think she ensured her legacy 10 years ago when she said impeachment was off the table before she ever even became speaker. It was more than 10 years ago. It was 14 years ago, I think. And she's doing it again. I think
she's convinced. She doesn't understand what Trump is. She doesn't get it.
They
have a friendly-ish relationship, and she doesn't get the kind of danger that he is. She doesn't seem to realize she's dealing with Caligula.
Yeah, right. And a moment ago, you mentioned health care and Howie Klein, I know it down with tyranny. You've got a piece up on, you know, Medicare for All. And still, you know, so many of the candidates are still sort of hedging their bets. Kamala Harris is a perfect one. She likes to blur the lines. It was like in the debate when they asked who among you would give up your private insurance to, you know, for a government-run plan. First night, Elizabeth Warren and Bill de Blasio's hands shot up. The second night, it was Bernie and Kamala Harris. Although the next day she said, oh, I kind of misheard the question. I don't agree with that. But yet she says she signs on to Bernie's Medicare for All plan, which would do away with private health insurance. She just won't state what her position is unequivocally.
At all. She doesn't want to, you know, she doesn't want to choose because she wants the voters who support both things.
Right.
It's very, very dishonest. You know, the problem with these people, especially Biden, but all of them, is they don't understand what health insurance is. They just don't get it. And I think I've told you, if you've heard this before from me, just stop me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I worked for Warner Brothers. I had a special, incredible insurance, the best insurance that anyone could have. So I'm talking to you about someone that didn't have average private insurance. I had the best.
Right.
You can't get
the
better.
Cadillac plan.
It was built
right.
into the contracts. We didn't even have to negotiate for it. It was built into the contracts of all of the presidents and the chairman of all of the divisions of AOL Time Warner that you get this incredible insurance.
Right.
So when I left the company, I was petrified that when you have a bridge plan that takes you to Medicare.
Right.
And I was that I was going to be thrown into Medicare and I was going to lose my insurance. And just at that time, I had been diagnosed as having cancer.
Right, remember.
Rare form of cancer that was going to be very, very, very expensive to treat. And I thought, oh my God, I'm going to die. And I was shocked to learn that Medicare was much better. It wasn't as good as the best health insurance that was available. It wasn't as good. It was much better.
Right.
That's what it was. And none of these people seem to understand that. Kamala Harris doesn't understand it. They should be out explaining that to people. Biden will never understand it. He's too old to understand anything that he didn't already know for 20 years.
Yep.
But, you know, that's why they're out there. I mean, Biden is lying about Bernie's plan. I wonder if he's ever even read it.
Probably not.
But he's just telling, like, brutal lies about it and using Republican talking points. I'm not saying he necessarily gets it from the Republicans, but he's repeating the same bullshit that they're repeating.
Yeah. I got to say, somebody in the chat room just said, oh, the fix is in for Biden already. I certainly hope not. Did you hear he did an interview on Morning Jerk yesterday. I just got to play this for you. Hold on. It's only like 30 seconds, but it is just so typical Joe Biden. Here it is.
But what do? You make it to the general. You're on the debate stage. He's lying. He's saying we're doing great. That's his brand. We're stronger than ever. He starts making fun of your age, your mental state. He starts going after you in ways that this is, I mean.
I said, come on, Donald. Come on, man. How many push-ups you want to do here, pal?
What?
You know,
right.
I mean, jokingly. You know, come on, run with me, man. People, I don't hesitate. I'm not going to get down in the dirt with him. That's the only place he knows how to fight.
I'm just speechless. How many push-ups can you do? Come on, man. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Good that he goes on these shows and does this stuff because the more people see of him, the lower his polls go. His polls started at 41, they're now in the 20s, or 44, started at 44, they're in the 20s and going down, down, down everywhere.
Yeah.
And I've also seen polling on this, that the people who pay the most attention are the ones who like him the least. No one who pays attention likes this guy.
Right.
And as time goes on, so to your friend in the chat room who's saying the fix is in, they'd like the fix to be in, but the fix isn't in. Now, what the people who are behind him hope that they can do is to, you know, when he self-destructs, which is going to happen, is to get, what's his name, Pete Buttigieg.
Oh, God.
You know, they're hoping that he'll be their candidate, but I don't think that's going to go over either.
God, I hope not. All right. As always, thank you. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot. Talk to you next
Thanks,
week.
Thanks, Howie. Find Howie by at downwithtyranny.com and, of course, the Blue America Pack. Thank you, as always. And
come on, man.
Come on, man. I'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Thanks for listening.